I want you to help me with my sermon today. This can be a little old-fashioned, at least from my perspective. I want to take a few minutes during the sermon, and I want you to be thinking about who led you to Christ, that person's name, and how long ago it was when you got saved. And I want to hear from some of the older people, some of the younger people. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And what I'm talking about, what I'm preaching about this morning, is unless and almost, unless God. So I want you to think about where you would be if God hadn't been there for you, and who that person was that led you to Christ, and how long ago it was. In my own life, it was my mother when I was 11 years old. I grew up in church. I prayed a prayer when I was very young. When I was 4 years old, I prayed a prayer. But I had many doubts, and I don't think I knew what I was doing. And I talked to my mom. It was in the basement. She was doing laundry. And I remember praying over the Kenmore dryer and praying and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I know I wasn't, I know I wasn't very old, and I know I didn't come from a long life of sin, but I'm, unless God, almost. Unless God, almost. And that verse, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Silence of death. Silence of the punishment. Away from God. Punishment in hell. And I think about all the songs that we sing. One in the songbook, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And I'm so glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. I'm glad when the Pharisees and the scribes looked at Christ and they said, he eats and drinks with sinners. He's a friend of sinners. I'm glad that God's grace doesn't stop halfway between heaven and hell. I'm glad it goes all the way down to the deepest hell. And no matter where you are in your sin, no matter where you are in your life, young or old, good or bad, however you see yourself, God's grace reaches farther than your sin. God's grace reaches farther than that punishment that you deserve. And unless the Lord, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. I think about when God reached down, when he saved us, and when we sing, love lifted me, and love lifted all of us. Love gave all of us the grace of God. Love, Christ dying on the cross, his love is what reached down and pulled us out of that sinking sand that set our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And that needs to be a reminder to us today. And I just real quick, I was going to come back to you, but if you are willing to say a word of testimony today in our old-fashioned service for the Lord, if you want to stand up real quick, man or woman, I know all the kids are gone, but teenagers, just five or six people, one or two, anybody that's willing to stand and say, this man, this woman led me to Christ, and it was this long ago when Jesus saved me. Helen, go ahead. My wife's back with the kids, but she was very young in junior church, and they had, people raise their hand. We do it today. We say, raise your hand if you don't know for sure going to heaven, and they took a group of girls out onto a church bus and led her and a group of girls, and we always talk because I always had doubts when I was younger, and she's like, well, I got it right the first time. I don't know what your problem was, but but that story that's only unique to you, and I know we could spend, I know there's fried chicken and food out there, and teaching the kids during a Sunday where we have a meal is the worst, so I'm praying for Brother Ben out there because they're all, the food's billowing and the smells and the people getting ready. But that story that's only unique to you, when God reached down, and I know you made the choice, you accepted Christ, but when God reached down and said, hey, you're going to respond, all of us know the pastor's story, when his pastor came to him and said, don't you think it's time that you trusted Christ? And that story that's unique to you, that'll never go away. Even in heaven, you'll still be able to tell that story. Yes, ma'am. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, that old-fashioned mentality of just not even of saying we believe it and then sharing it with each other, of saying, yeah, I had that struggle too, and I worry too, and I read the book of 1 John, and I thought, I need to confess my sin, I need to get it right. But that sharing with one another, I hope that never goes away. I hope that old-fashioned part of church never goes away to where we all just sit in the pew and don't say, well, I wonder when Brother Harry got saved. I know he's told me before, but looking at our neighbor and not just wondering about them, but talking to them and knowing. And that difference between unless the Lord and almost. And I don't know about each of you, and I know the ones that have stood up and shared this morning, I know they don't want to be an almost Christian because they got saved. Agrippa told Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And all of us know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus didn't almost die on the cross for our sins, and he didn't almost pay for our sins and take away that penalty, and not only take away our penalty, but give us his righteousness, lay his righteousness out on our sinful life, so that when you look at the life of a Christian, you don't see their sins. You see, not only you don't see their sin, but you see the good works that Jesus Christ did. You see the work, the finished work of salvation that Jesus did on the cross. And I don't want to be an almost saved Christian. I don't want to be I don't want to almost make a difference in somebody's life. In Jude 23, the Bible talks about some saved with fear, pulling them from the fire. And nobody wants to be almost saved. You know, everybody has a might have an almost death experience where something bad happens to them, but nobody wants that to come in their life. And you don't want to be an almost Christian. You don't want to be almost a person that helps somebody else. I think about Esther. Don't be almost used of God. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, came to her, and she had been through a trial. She had been through the pageantry of a beauty contest, and she had been picked to be the king's wife, and a trial had come. So a man wanted to kill all of her people, wanted to kill her race, and Mordecai, her uncle, said, you know, I think God might have picked you for this time. Who knows that God chose you for such a time as this? And Esther had a choice, whether she obeyed God, stood for her people, or whether she kept quiet and watched as her people were killed. I don't want to almost be used of God. I want to be used of God. I think about the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood before the king, before the fiery furnace, before they knew the end of the story, before they knew whether God was going to deliver them or not. And they said, I think God's going to come through, but if not, if God doesn't come through, I'm still not going to bow down to your graven image. I'm still not going to follow the world. And they didn't know the outcome. They were pretty sure, but they didn't know the end of the story yet. And they didn't want to almost be used of God. They didn't want to almost be an example for God. They wanted to be that example. And they wanted to be a standing for God. Don't be almost responsible for your family, for your church, for your country. I'm so thankful for my family, for my mom and dad, for my father, for his example. And I don't want to almost be like him. You know, I'd like to be like him. I'd like to, I don't want to use the word that way, but I'd like him to teach me. And I'd like to not, I want to say improve. I think he wants me to improve on what he has taught me. I think he has things in his life that he wants me to teach me, and he wants me to learn from him. I don't want to be almost accountable. I want to be accountable. I don't want to be almost responsible. I want to be responsible. I think about my little boy. He still has meltdowns every now and then, and he's still learning, and I'm still learning. I know he's watching me, but I don't want to be almost an example for him. I don't want to say, here's 80% of my life, and do as I say, not as I do. I want to be that example for him. I don't want to be almost a good father in my home. I don't want to almost be a good pastor or almost be a good song leader or everything that God gives me to do. I don't want to say, I almost made it. I'm almost there. I want to be all the way. I don't want to be almost, because almost is the difference between pleasing God and disappointing God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse we use for everything. We use it for our country. We use it for our families. We use it when we talk about politics. But the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And everybody reads that verse and they say, I just wish these people would get right with God. I wish those people over there would humble themselves. I wish those people out there would kneel and pray, and I wish those people over there would get right with God. But God said, if my people, and I look at myself and I say, well, I'd love to fix the whole world, but first I need to fix myself. First I need to get myself right. Yeah, I need to be the one that humbles myself. I need to be the one that prays. I need to be the one that seeks after God's face. And I don't want to almost get there. I don't want to be so worried about everybody else that I never get there myself. That God's people, that God's chosen me and said, if my people, I don't want to almost get there and then not only not be able to help somebody else, but not be able to honor God with my life. Think about what Moses said in Exodus 32. God's people had sinned. And first Moses rebuked his people that he was the leader of. And then he went to God and he said, I'm going to confess this sin to God. And Moses said, please forgive us. Forgive us of this sin. And he said, if not, blot me out of thy book. And Moses took responsibility to a level that hope that none of us have gotten to, where he said, take me out of your blessing. Take me out of your book, God, and forgive these people. Moses understood that. He was a person of God. He was God's person. He was God's people, and he was called by God's name, and he humbled himself, and he prayed, and he sought God's face. and he wanted his people to turn from their wicked ways. And there's many times in life you are real close. You're almost there. And if we go back and we think, if not for what God did for us, I don't want to be an almost Christian. I want to be an unless God. Unless God had stepped in. Unless God had decided to work in my life. Unless somebody prayed for me. Unless somebody showed love to me. Unless somebody was compassionate and kind to me. Unless that, I would have been almost what I needed to be. Don't be almost responsible. Don't be almost used of God. Don't be almost a difference in somebody's life. Don't be this close to helping somebody out, this close to pulling somebody out of the fire and saying, hey, I'm there for you. Don't be that close. Do it. Don't be almost saved. Don't be petty about it. Don't sit around and listen to somebody, whether they're good at it or bad at it or still working on it, tell you there's a price on sin. The penalty for sin is death. There's a place called hell. It's not prepared for you, but that's where you're headed. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but you're headed there in your sin. Because your sin, any sin, one sin, separates you from God. And if you haven't dealt with it, if you never trusted Christ, you never accepted what Jesus did when God gave his only begotten Son, if you never believed in him, if you never confessed and believed in your heart that Jesus was God's Son, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that he rose again, and that you're trusting in what he did, not in yourself. If you've never done that, you're almost there. And I commend you for, you probably have heard it all before. You might be this close, but you've never trusted Christ. You've never done that. Don't be an almost Christian. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I think about what God did when he saved me. And I think about the times in my life where God made himself real to me. And I think about all the opportunities I might have missed where I didn't ask God to make himself real in my life. Almost I could have been more used of God. Almost I could have been there for somebody else to pull them out of the fire, to help them in their time of need. Almost God could have used me more because I wasn't listening, because I didn't remember unless the Lord. Unless the Lord. Until I was thankful for what God did for me, I wasn't ready to help somebody else. And the last one I wrote down was, don't get almost clean. David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. I always joke on Old Fashioned Day. It's the only Sunday in the year you get to wear comfortable clothes. And this morning I got up, and I never wear these things except for Old Fashioned Day, so I know where they are in my closet. I got up and I reached up in the top of the closet, and I pulled down what I thought was my overalls. It was a pair of jeans, and we're about ready to leave for church because I wait to the last minute for everything. And I came out and said, Chantel, have you seen my overalls? I don't remember where they are. And then we had to dig around for 5 minutes and find what I love to wear, and find where I love to be, and find the best outfit I get to wear all year. I thought I knew where it was, but I had to go looking for it. And a lot of us live our Christian life. We say, you know, I remember how it used to be. You know, we'd sing songs, we'd praise God, and nobody cared how long the preacher went, and you know, nobody had anywhere to be, and it was fun. And it wasn't just fun. We could feel the Holy Spirit, and revival broke out. People got saved. People, you know, the bars closed down. People came to church. They had revivals that lasted hours and hours, and I remember the way it used to be. And any time I want, I could reach back and grab that and put it back on again. But we forget, first of all, we forget where we put it, and then we settle for something less than what God wants us to have. And just like it took me a while to find my favorite outfit in the whole wide world, and sometimes it takes us a while to find that thing that we say we love because we go so long without it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy. Restore the happiness and the fulfillment and the spirit fullness of our salvation. The way you felt when you got saved. The way you felt when you were comfortable with God. The way you felt where you could do anything and God would be there with you and help you. And many of us live with it just in our reach and we don't reach up and put it on. And remember the almost of life. Remember, I'll close with this. It's a personal story. I know I'm young. I know I haven't seen the trials that many of you have. When I was in school, I was supposed to be done with school, but I was still there, and it was taking a while to get done. And I was in the dormitories, and we had two phones that rang on the floor. Everybody didn't have cell phones, so people would call, and they'd call and ask for whoever it was. And it was our duty as good Christians to not be rude and not be mean and to answer the phone. If you were close to the phone, you had to answer it and call out the guy's name. And I think it was a Saturday afternoon, the phone rang, and they asked for this person. And I said, I called out his name, and I said, "I'm sorry, he's not here." And it was a lady, and she said, "Well, who's this?" And I said, "Adam Manning. This is Adam Manning." And she was quiet for a couple seconds. And she said, "Adam Manning." She said, you used to go to Metro Baptist Church, and that's where my family used to go." And I said, "Yep." And she said, "You know, I prayed for you." And I said, "Who are you?" And she said, "Well, when I prayed for you, you weren't born yet, but when your mom was pregnant, it was a high-risk pregnancy, she had diabetes, and we all got together and we prayed for you." And I said, "Thank you. Thank you very much," because that was a low part in my life. And I thought, what's the point? Why, I'm almost where I should be, almost is good enough, almost is close enough. But God used this stranger to me that said, "Hey, 25 years ago, I prayed for you. 25 years ago, you were important enough for a group of ladies to get together and to pray and to make a difference in your life." And many times I think we miss those opportunities to be the unless the Lord. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me be the one to reach down and help you. We miss those opportunities because we think almost is good enough. And if you're here today and you almost understand what it means to be saved. You almost understand what it means to be a Christian. I'm trying to tell you this morning that's not good enough. It's not good enough to be almost there and not there. If you're a Christian here today and you're almost making a difference in your family, you're almost, you're the head of the home, or you're responsible and you're almost putting your foot down, you're almost laying down the law, but you're not there yet. You're not the example that you should be. And as many that testified this morning, you say, I can't really say that the way that they said it. I don't really have that testimony. I'm not sure where I stand. And you're almost there. Today I want to challenge you, and as I challenge myself, to be the Christian that says, unless the Lord, and let me tell you again, unless the Lord had stepped into my life, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And that was in Psalm 94. In Psalm 73, it says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Another place in the Bible, it says, "Remember the pit from which you were digged." And I think old-fashioned day is a great time to say, "Hey, you know what? But for the grace of God, there go I. I would not be where I am today without the grace of God in my life. And it's up to me. It's my example. It's my testimony to challenge somebody else. I don't want to be an almost Christian. I don't want to be almost what God wants me to be. I want to be wholeheartedly. I want to be clean. I want to be used by God. I want to be used in somebody else's life, like so many have been used in my life." And that's my challenge for you today. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you're here this morning, you feel the Spirit tugging on your heart. Maybe anything I said, I could have said it better. I could have said it better where you could understand it. But God used it to remind you of something the way it used to be, of that garment you used to put on, that joy of your salvation. And God, something that said was a reminder to you today that it could be that way again if I just exercise it, if I just reach out and take it. And instead of being almost, I would say, unless the Lord had been my help, I would have been in silence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, again, I thank you for the testimonies that were shared today. And again, it was a little different. And I know that you were in it, Lord. Thank you for these reminders. Reminders of not just from your word, but reminders of those that have lived it for decade after decade. Those that have trusted in you from a very young age, and those that not only trusted you then for their salvation, but have lived a life, an example to each of us, an example of trust, an example of saying, if it weren't for God, if it weren't for, unless the Lord had stepped in, unless somebody used of God had stepped into my life, I would not be here. I would not be serving God. And again, Lord, that's great. Thank you for those examples, but help us to be the next generation's examples. Help some of us in this room in 20 or 30 years stand up and say, unless God had stepped in, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be serving you. Unless God had stepped in my life and given me salvation, I wouldn't be here today. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being that in my life. Thank you for the examples here. Thank you for each one gathered and for different reasons. But if there's anybody here, Lord, that's not saved, help them come. In the next few moments, we'll show them from your word how to receive Christ, how to be sure of heaven, Again, Lord, as so many testified, be sure of our eternal home. Thank you for this day. Thank you for using each of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.